This is the Snug Podcast. In this episode,
Accurix in Scotland.
So now we buy 98% of GP practices. In England, that's everything from simple text messaging to structured data capture, and then decide what's best for their care.
We can be that single front door for all patient communication to come into our inbox. GP practices can then use the inbox to collaborate with each other and make sure that that patient is assigned in the right place.
Hello and welcome back to the Snug Podcast. I'm Andrew McElhinney. I'm a GP in NHS Forth Valley, and this podcast aims to update you on what's happening in the world of general practice information technology here in Scotland. Now, we've had a little break for the last couple of months, but it's good to be back. The move to the new hosted vision system continues slowly but surely, and Snug had an excellent migration and training day for practices last week in the Westwood Hotel in Cumbernauld. It was oversubscribed. So, we hope to maybe run another one, but we'll keep you posted. Now, today we are excited to discuss another potentially new system which is already widely used in England, but is hopefully going to be made available in Scotland soon. It's been mainly used so far for communication with patients via texts, receiving pictures, or sending online advice or fit notes. It can also be used for online consulting, and it is even starting to be used in some practices for total triage of all patient admin and clinical requests. It's called Accurix. And earlier today, I was joined by Emma and Satya from their company, and you'll hear the discussion very shortly. Now, I should say that it will enhance your understanding of what we're talking about to see the system. To do this, you can have a look at some of the videos online which show what the system looks like, how it works, and you can also hear from practices who are using it. I'll post links in the podcast description. So it's up to you if you want to do that first, but I'm sure anyone who is involved with general practice in Scotland will be interested to know about this product and consider how useful some of this functionality may be in the future. Let's have a listen. Emma and Satya, you are very welcome to the Snug Podcast.
Thanks, Andrew. It's great to be here.
Would you like to give us a brief introduction to yourselves and what we're going to be talking about today?
Yep, I'll let Satya go first.
Hi, Andrew. Yeah, so real privilege to kind of join you on the podcast today. So I'm Satya, the VP of Clinical at Accurix, and my clinical background is paediatrics. Within Accurix, I kind of lead our in-house clinical team and support the growth of Accurix across the health system. So the role of the clinical team really is to bridge the needs of the health system with our products and make sure we're building products that solve the communication challenges within the NHS. And I work very closely with Emma, who I'll hand over to.
Yeah, thanks, Satya. So I'm Emma, Head of Partnerships here at Accurix. I look after all of our partners, essentially, which are all across the NHS. So currently, GP practices, ICBs, PCNs, acute trusts, community trusts. So yeah, we're in a privileged position to be working with lots of different partners across the NHS. And there's a team of about 18 now in partnerships that works with those people.
This is an audio only medium. So we're going to encourage people listening to have a look at some of the online videos, which will obviously show them what Accurix looks like, what it does. I'll give links to these. But I guess we're going to try and explain it in words today, you know, for people who aren't too familiar with it already, maybe up here in Scotland. So could you give us a short introduction, you know, to what Accurix is and how it was introduced to practices in England?
Yeah, so Accurix at its very core is a software company that's building communication tools, so making it easier for healthcare professionals to contact their patients, making it easier for patients to contact their healthcare professionals, as well as kind of communicate across the system. So we actually started life as a clinical decision support tool for antibiotic prescribing. As a lot of our early life in kind of 2016, 2017, living within GP practices. And what we found was people weren't really interested in using the clinical decision support tool for antibiotic prescribing, but what they were doing day in, day out was communicating. So, you know, everything from letting a patient know that they had normal blood test results to trying to refer a patient into secondary care to get to be seen by the consultant dermatologist for a funny skin lesion. And lots of those communication tasks were just taking up time because they were done in very inefficient ways. You know, pre-Accurix, certainly in England, we were talking about the way that most patients were contacted by their GP practice was a phone call or a letter that came to their address. to then kind of coordinate next steps. So kind of the first product that we really built that took off was simple SMS. So allowing a GP practice to message a patient, send a text message to a patient to let them know information about their care. And that just started to be used really widely. So just before COVID and the pandemic, we were in about 50% of GP practices. That was mostly through word of mouth growth and kind of referrals, and one practice saying to another practice, hey, you really got to use this, it's making our life much easier. And then at the start of the pandemic, we knew there was a need to move to remote consultations. So the ability to contact patients remotely and coordinate their care remotely. Most practices at that time didn't have simple camera software to be able to do that. And so we built a video consultation software. We released it to all of our practices for free, just literally over the course of a single weekend. So just before we went to the first lockdown in England. So now we are used by 98% of GP practices. That's everything from simple text messaging to structured data capture. So if patients are needing to be seen, GPs and administrative staff can send across a questionnaire to the patient to capture structured data about their symptoms and then decide kind of what's best for their care. And really within that, we also support kind of entire workload management within primary care as well around communication. So having really simple tools that allow the team to collaborate, to assign a message to say, hey, this query is coming from this patient, which I think your best place to deal with it, and to resolve entire episodes of care asynchronously. And if I think of just like one really clear example of that is, again, kind of pre-AcuRx, if a patient had a funny rash or a funny lesion, you know, there'd be a phone call with a GP practice, and GP practice would say, come in a week's time, we'll have a look at it, see what's going on. Now that model has completely changed. So patient has a funny rash or skin lesion, contact the GP practice, the GP will send them a message saying, can you send me a photo? Patient can send up to 5 images securely of their kind of skin condition, and that can be managed entirely asynchronously now within the GP practice. And what we've seen is in some cases those patients are referred on to maybe community dermatology or the dermatology consultant. In other cases, you know, they are brought in just to have another look, but lots of that kind of way of working is actually just being managed through kind of simple communication across the system, which hasn't historically existed. So that's kind of AcuRx in maybe not a brief but a quick nutshell.
No, that's great. You've done well. It's not easy to try and describe it all without showing it, but that's great. I mean, I guess, yeah, it strikes me that in Scotland as well, the pandemic really forced practices to look at different ways of communicating with patients. We started getting lots of people sending in pictures, as you say, and I guess a lot of that's been done by email, you know, which is really quite clunky and quite inefficient. So AcuRx looks like a really interesting way of doing that better. One thing we don't have in Scotland is the NHS app. And I just wondered how many people use AcuRx via that, or can you use it without that?
So we're integrated with the NHS app, but not all patients are using it yet. Sata, you probably have more of an idea of the percentage, but it's not as high as NHS England want to get to. So at the moment, it defaults to text messaging really through using AcuRx. But if patients are using the NHS app and they're going to receive it within the right window of time, then it will default to that first. And a real benefit of that is that it saves on SMS costs. So we're working really closely with the NHS app team to make the experience better for patients, essentially get as many messages going through the NHS app safely as we are comfortable with. Right now, it's mostly individual messages that are more admin focused, but they do want to get to the point where, you know, questionnaires and batch messaging and everything like that is going through, because that's where the biggest cost saving potential is, of course. So that's where we're at really there. So it shouldn't be a blocker that Scotland don't have the NHS app, but when speaking with the Scottish Government last week, my understanding was that through the Digital Front Door programme and Digital Front Door work, there is thinking about still, you know, having something in Scotland. It's just a little bit further behind on that front. So yeah. If they did, we'd be really willing to partner with them on that through our experience that we have with working with NHS England on the NHS app.
Sure. Yeah, no, I do hear boards concerned about the cost of SMSs, so I'm sure we're going to need something like that. So I guess we're in a world now where people are looking at new ways of doing things and, you know, asynchronous consulting systems, if you like. I guess in England, you tend to talk about online consultations, which I think sometimes confuses people up here, because sometimes people think that's a sort of video consulting. But I suppose for the purposes of this chat, we're talking about asynchronous online consulting. What would you say are the differences between AcuRx and other asynchronous consulting systems?
So I think firstly, one thing that we do pride ourselves on is our ability to be really close to users and make sure that we're in practice solving for real user needs. That means that in terms of where we're at, we're in a really privileged position where 98% of GP practices are using us as the communication tool. So I think that's put us in a position where we've then been able to work really closely with them to build out the product. So I think what is different is that we have that scale, first and foremost. And then the second thing is that we do build to solve communication needs agnostic of care setting too. So that means that we actually are uniquely positioned to be able to connect healthcare staff across the system and to provide a consistent patient experience. I think in terms of what is different from maybe your other online consulting tools, we are a desktop product foundationally for GPs, and we have a toolbar, which means that we're the front door for all patient communication that comes in. And we really see ourselves as being able to support all patients, no matter what kind of way they want to engage with practices. So we are digital first, but if patients do want to walk through the front door, they do want to call up because they're not as digitally able, we can be that single front door for all patient communication to come into our inbox. And then what's really special about Accurex is GP practices can then use the inbox to collaborate with each other and make sure that that patient is assigned in the right place. And it's very, very kind of simple and easy to use in teams of staff. That team of staff can be across a neighborhood too. So we've been working really closely with the health board equivalent ICBs in England to think about how we bring community into that and pharmacies into that so that the patient can be assigned across even outside of GP practice, which obviously makes demand easier, but also means that healthcare staff are better using the capacity that they do have. Satya, I don't know if you'd add anything else.
No, I think you did a great job. I think the only difference is to your question about kind of what's the difference with the other online consultation tools is that I think they tend to be more single point solutions. So they might be the ability for patients to get in contact, tell you about their symptoms. There might be some red flagging there, but then actually you can't do all of the other things you then need to do with that patient, right? So you need to contact the patient back and let them know that, you know, their symptoms are fine, it'll resolve in 7 days, or actually you need to coordinate their care within other services. You can't necessarily do that. So I think the difference with us is we really look at the workflows and almost sort of, we kind of go deep into the individual use cases, but then take one lens out and say, what's the generic workflow here, which is the patient needs to be able to get in contact with you. That's kind of the priority. You actually need to be able to capture whether, to Emma's point, whether they're coming through the door or coming through via phone call or have submitted online consultation in the same way. So within our product, that means reception staff, whilst they're on the phone to a patient, can fill in the same kind of online consultation form a patient might be using. And that all of that activity is then captured within the inbox. So I think some of the challenges with primary care typically is that you have a lot of hidden activity. And so it's really hard to know actually how to allocate your capacity to the demand that you have. And I think we do that really well, because the other piece that we add on there is the reporting to give you visibility of that. So actually on a Tuesday morning, you are overwhelmed. And so you might need a bit more resourcing there. And actually there are other smart things you can do in the product to help you kind of manage that. So we try and look at it a bit more holistically than kind of a single point solution, I'd say.
Yeah, so there's such a lot to kind of take in from what you've said, but I think certainly the fact that you've got the toolbar in just about all practices, that's a massive starting point for people to then consider other organisational changes. As we've said, the pandemic really forced people to look at new ways of doing things. But there's a sort of sense that a lot of practices have reverted to the sort of more traditional model of patients phoning up for an appointment and then the face-to-face consultation being the default. And it's a big transition, I think, for people to get from that to a new world of online triage. So I guess people can be a bit intimidated by the thought of the organization required, you know, not just for admin staff, but also for GPs. So change can be quite organic. You know, I can see that GPs would get used to using the communication tool for a while, become comfortable with that, you know, and then if they want to do something like total triage, it's quite a massive step. So what do you advise practices to do when they're trying to move that way?
So The way that we think about it is similar to as you've explained. Practices can really organically pick up the messaging element of what we do. So things like sending batch messages, things like sending questionnaires or individual messages to patients and allowing that two-way communication. So that's a really good starting point often. And then once we see that adoption and we work with them, because we have a really good implementation team that get on the ground with practices to really work with them to even help them adopt those elements, then we know that they're ready and we can phase them up to more of a total triage model. And that's really what we've been focusing on in England too. Some practices may not want to get there this year, but they may want to get there at a point in the future. And we'll create, if a ICB procures for all practices, for example, we'll create a phased implementation plan based on the cohorts of practices that they have within their ICB. So we might split them into three by saying one cohort are very, very digitally able. They've already been using certain tools. So actually, you know, we'll start with total triage for them. Then there may be a middle cohort that are a little bit less digitally savvy or digitally ready. And then there might be a cohort where actually they've got a really challenging patient population. There's lots of different nuance to how they need to use us, and they need much more on the ground support. And so it's really just about knowing the type of practice that they are and listening to their feedback and creating a tailored plan based on that, I think is important. And knowing that not everyone wants to or will get there straight away, that model.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I think we can't continue in the old way that we used to do things in the future. You know, people are used to doing things online now and doing things on their phones. And it's inconceivable we won't be doing that in the next few years. But there is still quite a lot of organisational change to make. People often worry up here. And again, we're behind where practices are in England, I think. But they often worry about online consulting sort of opening a floodgate to a new sort of patient demand. And we have had practices that have tried out some of these systems in the pandemic and then reverted to the traditional model. Have you heard these sort of concerns in England, you know, about a new sort of floodgate being opened to demand?
Absolutely. I think every time we build a product, we hear that concern, that if we make it somehow easier and widen access for patients by creating these digital tools, that we will overwhelm practices. And I think part of kind of the way that we approach the products that we build, because we do really try and understand the needs of our users, we spend a lot of time with practices on the ground. We've already started kind of visiting practices in Scotland as well to understand kind of where those needs are. I think the reality is, to the point that you kind of raised, Andrew, is that, you know, we can't continue to work in the same way. And certainly where your capacity is unlikely to change, but your demand is increasing. I think what we haven't seen, certainly through supporting nearly every practice within England and Wales and Northern Ireland, is that we haven't seen that does actually lead to overwhelm. I think all we've found is that the same patients who were getting in touch before are now getting in touch, and probably in much easier ways. But where actually you see the biggest shift changes is how the practice works. And that isn't easy. You know, there is a lot of change management involved, as Emma's spoken about, and we try and kind of tailor that approach. But really what it's doing is making sure that actually you can work in a much more sustainable way as a practice. Because if you're having to manage the phone lines and the people walking through the door and the online consultation platforms, but you're still defaulting to everything being a booked into an appointment, then actually you are going to feel overwhelmed with adding a new additional tool on top of that. So the way that we try and think about this is that really what we should be doing is moving everything towards a single system, so that you have visibility of that demand and you can manage it in a single place. And what I would say is, like, the real difference here is when you go to a practice that's running an online consultation tool effectively, where they aren't just every point of contact is converted to an appointment, actually they are managing the bulk of their activity and resolving that asynchronously, those practices feel very wildly different. They are calmer practices, the staff are happier, you know, and we do try and capture that. It's not just me saying that for the practices that I visit and cherry picking the ones that I go to, but we do kind of annual staff survey, which says how much time does it save you, how do you kind of feel about the role and using FOX. And our scores there are very high, but that is because we spend a lot of time. So, and we reflect that in the way that we build products. So when we're building products, we're mindful of that, but actually there might be days where you suddenly have staff sickness. And so you still want patients to be able to self-refer through online consultation tools, but you don't want lots of queries coming in, you know, to the practice because you just don't have the staff capacity. So we try and build that flexibility into the product so you can turn off the the kind of medical queries, but actually you've got the administrative queries still on, and patients can still self-refer to local services because we've built that into the product. So really try and reflect that to make sure that actually we aren't increasing demand. What we are doing is trying to give you a better ability to manage that demand within your existing capacity. I think that's really the critical piece, and that's how we approach every product.
And yeah, and I think a lot of practices do tend to put a limit on hours when patients can make the requests, maybe at the weekends and stuff. How familiar is Accurix with the sort of specific needs and structure of the healthcare system in Scotland?
I would say getting there, Andrew. I'm Scottish, in case you didn't notice. And I've got my mother-in-law is a GP, and so are my two sisters-in-law and their partners. So I've got five GPs in the family, essentially, in Scotland. Actually, one's a consultant in secondary care, but still. So I've been sort of hearing all of their very diverse opinions on how Accurix might add value. I am very aware that there's a diverse population in terms of deprivation needs, rural areas, everything like that. And I think we're working closely with Grampian and Lothian health boards in particular, and hoping to kick off IG with them shortly. I think IG has been one thing that is different in that we rolled out, as Satya said, quite organically to GP practices without needing to loop in the buyer into the situation. I think having to kind of do that first and foremost is a very different approach for us. So we're working closely with health boards to try to articulate why practices want to use us. We do have 45 practices already on a waiting list that are kind of desperate to use us in Scotland. So hopefully that's really supporting those conversations. And we're seeing at the cluster level in particular, they're ready to sort of progress, which is very exciting. I think attending lots of events in Scotland has been really helpful. We've kind of spent time in practices as well already. So we're starting to build a strong understanding of how we can support, essentially, particularly on managing capacity better and also supporting with patient demand, because we know that 8 a.m. phone rush is very much a thing in Scotland as it is in England. But we know also that we'll need to tailor our product and also tailor the way that we work to the different needs in Scotland.
Thanks. Yeah. And I mean, I guess our boards usually want things like DPIAs done and stuff. Have you got something like that that can be shared fairly easily?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I think, like Emma said, we kind of agree quite organically, but we've done our homework to get.
I'm sure you have, yeah.
To get all the processes in place and really make sure we're clear on our obligations as well to practices and patients in kind of how we handle their data.
So you're offering demos at the moment of Accurix and obviously keen for practices to see it. What do you say to practices if they are keen to use it? What are you saying to them?
So what we're saying is that we understand that practices will likely want to try before they buy, especially with the funding constraints that, you know, the entire NHS system is under at the moment. So we're saying get on our waiting list, kind of show that you do want to use us to support us working with the health board to get IG done and dusted. And then once that IG has been ticked off, we're offering Accurix for free for 3 months so that really we can get on the ground with the practice, make sure that the product is well adopted, make sure they understand the use cases and how they can really see that value, and so that we can really show the value of Accurix before asking anyone to go to their pocket and pay for it. So that's our approach really. Simultaneously, like I said, we've spoken to the Scottish Government on whether there's funding opportunities that we can work with. Obviously that will be a 2 to 3 at least year task, and we're also speaking to the health boards about whether there'll be funding. It's probably going to be more of a 2025 thing, and we want to get practices up and running before that. But I think it'll be very helpful if we do have some practices in health board areas paying for us and using us to make the case for that health board funding, which is exactly how we worked with ICBs in England. So that's the approach.
Thank you. Yeah, I know there's massive change ahead for Scottish practices in the next couple of years with the system change and then DocMan upgrade as well. So for all the staff to get their head around these new systems is going to be quite a tall order, but we're obviously aware of the need to do all of these things. In terms of support for practices and any training that might be needed, can you tell us a bit about what's provided?
So based on our experience and feedback, kind of as I spoke to a little bit in England, We know that the practice environment is incredibly busy. We know that being asked to adopt new technology you've never seen or you've never tried out is incredibly overwhelming. So I think that's why the approach is to really do the demo so the practices can see it and really see how they might adopt it and start using it, maybe even if it's just for messaging. And then we've got online training videos and resource articles, which are available 24/7, but also we're trying to really get to Scotland and get on the ground. So we want to spend time in practices. So we're sending our implementation team up to do that and to actually do pilots with practices. Practices will have a named implementation manager who they can email with ad hoc questions or feedback and do one-to-one calls with part of our implementation. We also have a support team via live chat 7 days a week, and they have an extremely high NPS score. Practices get response within 5 minutes, and they're highly trained in troubleshooting anything really with them. And we also offer support for patients, so including access to our support team via live chat and email, and access to recorded YouTube videos and things like that too. So yeah, I think we're very proud of the implementation and support team that we have here in Accurex, and that is actually one of the things that does make us a little bit different in terms of that time physically that we put in on the ground to work really closely with users on how they might change their way of working in a phased way that's not overwhelming for them.
I mean, from what I've seen, the demonstration and the videos online are really worth a look in terms of just basics like sending information to patients without having to phone them, sending fit notes, sending them questionnaires, sending them information. It looks so easy. And the fact that it writes back to the clinical system, that again is such an advantage that systems like this need to be able to do that. And obviously, you know, that's something that Accurex is going to do with vision.
Definitely. One thing that we haven't mentioned, Andrew, is long-term condition management. And I understand that that's an opportunity for Scottish users as well, and something that we're really proud of having actually impacted across ICBs in terms of driving outcomes, not just sending out questionnaires into the ether and nothing happening, but really being able to actually change outcomes for patients through the clinical team, Satya, being part of building questionnaires that work, and also allowing practices to build custom questionnaires too that work really well to get high responses. I think our average response on our questionnaires is 80% from patients, which does set us apart from other questionnaires, for example.
I would just add that's definitely one thing we're doing for Scotland, which is, you know, we have lots of content within the product in the form of kind of standardized messages and templates that you might send, as well as all the clinical content from, you know, making sure that actually a patient who's had an HbA1c and newly diagnosed diabetic has a reminder and comes in for their follow-up in 12 weeks. But one thing we are doing is reviewing all of our content across the board to make sure that it actually follows Scottish pathways and protocols and guidance there, and updating kind of the links and information that we send out to patients to make sure that it's relevant for NHS Scotland. So that will be a bit of an ongoing piece of work, and we'd love practices to get involved in that as well. So if they have ideas of how they, you know, want to use the product or what might be really beneficial, that's what we live off. We love that feedback. It helps us make the product better, helps it make it really relevant to Scottish users. So if anyone's keen, do reach out to us, because we'd love to have you involved in that as well.
Yeah, no, thank you. That's great. Well, listen, thank you very much for discussing all of this. We are having a Snug virtual conference on May the 22nd, so I believe people can sign up for that and see a demo and ask you questions then.
That's right. We'll be there, yeah.
Excellent. So thank you very much. As I say, I'll put links to some videos that people can see and actually hear from practices that have used your product. So I'm sure it's something that will be of interest to people.
Great. Thanks so much, Andrew. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having us.
So there we go. As we've just heard, there will be a workshop on Accurex at next month's Snug virtual conference. And you can get the link to sign up for that in the podcast episode notes. Other DAX systems are also available. We've featured several of them before. Surely online consulting and triage systems will shape the direction of travel for how we will communicate with patients and deal with requests for care in the future. Will most of us be using something like this for organising patient care in 5 years' time? My guess is yes. Now, we have more plans afoot to try and speak to people in different regions in Scotland to see how people are coping with things and preparing for change over the next few months. Keep an ear out for forthcoming podcasts. Hit subscribe button. Hope you found this one interesting, and speak to you next time. Bye.